Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Now, some among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew told Philip, and went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just as a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's good to have everyone here this morning at Good Shepherd United Methodist Church. We welcome everyone here, whether you're visiting with us online, you're here in the house. But what we need to remember is that God has much in store for Good Shepherd in 2024. And we hope that you are walking alongside us as we continue to discover this exciting journey together. If this is your first time with us, we want to thank you and remind you that you are now part of our family as we gather here in the house, as we are here online. So let's take a moment this morning and wave to each other so that we can unite our spirits and welcome each other into our midst. If you're in-house and you see folks that you haven't seen in a while or new faces, be sure to offer them a warm Good Shepherd welcome. If you're online, don't forget to comment so that we know you're here present in worship. And remember that if you are in the house, it is okay to shout it out. I'm Pastor Regina, and I look forward to spending this time with you this morning. Our Lenten journey continues. We are drawing closer to the cross, but we still have many miles ahead. Our need for spiritual preparation, repentance, and reconciliation, our need for self-examination, our need to offer forgiveness and to restore our faith is evident as we journey through the cross. As we spend time in prayer, as we study God's Word, and as we fast from things that keep us from God during this holy season, we become stronger in our faith and devotion to God. In our Lenten series, The Depths of Love, as we enter the Passion of Jesus, we are discovering just how much we are loved. And we are remembering that all is not lost with Christ. The true meaning of love was revealed to us through the examples of Jesus, through God's covenant with Noah, the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, and the greatest commandment as we began our journey to the cross. We discovered that our call and responsibility to unconditionally love others as we are loved is what love is all about. Through Jesus' example to resist temptation in the wilderness and the ultimate resistance of self-will on the cross, it was revealed to us just how much we are loved. Next on our journey, Mark's gospel introduced us to the gall to take up our cross for the sake of the gospel. We recognized ourselves in those first disciples. We discovered what kind of Messiah Jesus is meant to be. We recognized that our first century brothers and sisters heard that phrase, taking up the cross, much differently than we do in the 21st century. We learned that we are called to uncomfortable places of unconditional love, defense of mercy and justice, and wherever else obedience to the call calls us to go. We continue that journey as we explore Jesus' righteous anger in the temple because worship had become something that it was never intended to be. We connected our work we do in the world with our worship. We discovered the meaning of right presence in worship and were reminded just who we are to focus on as we worship. Now last week we listened in on a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, and we discovered what true relationship with God demands. We related to Nicodemus in that we too at times are conflicted with what we believe to be true and the world's view of religion and faith practices. We, like Nicodemus, recognize the uneasiness caused when our religious traditions rub up against this new way that God is calling the church to be in the world. Ultimately, we remembered that our belief in Christ is evidence of the acceptance as beloved children of God, and that God's love triumphs over condemnation in all circumstances. It is the light of Christ that overcomes the darkness of the world. Today, we encounter again the ranking of Christ's followers and how these positions differ in God's kingdom from the perspective of the world. We will better understand how to glorify God with our actions as we follow the examples of Jesus. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Those who live their life will lose it, and those who hate their worldly life will have it for eternity. These statements go against everything the world teaches us. Work hard. Get ahead. Be the best you can be. These are the things for which the world tells us to strive. We just encountered this same thought a few weeks ago in Mark's gospel as Jesus was trying to teach the disciples these lessons. This morning, John's gospel is Jesus is trying to get the crowd to understand servanthood, not position or rank. Servanthood is what honors God. Our scripture opens this morning with two Greeks seeking to speak to Jesus. He answers the request with a troubling statement about servanthood's importance, followed by a voice from heaven declaring the glory of Jesus. What an interesting way to respond to someone seeking to find you. The teaching of surrender in Mark becomes more meaningful to us today as we realize that we must lose our life, the life we know and love, the comfort zone of how we live our life, the life that has become our identity. This life we are to lose if we're going to find God. Life with God means service. Service that requires loving and serving our neighbor, whoever our neighbors might be. Another difficult lesson to learn is that we're not called to do everything. The struggle is to discern the things that we are called to do and to trust that God calls us to do specific tasks that God will equip us to do. If we at Good Shepherd United Methodist Church were asked about our greatest strength, we would probably reply with a statement about our mission work in the community and the desire to meet the true needs that we discover there. We might follow this statement with one about our friendly and hospitable nature. Many of these endeavors take place outside the doors of this church and reach people who will never worship with us in person. We could compare these populations to our first century Greeks who need and deserve to access the gospel as much as, if not more, than those of us within the faith community. Our leadership and visioning teams are looking for new and innovative ways to reach our community with the love and action that Christ's followers are called to give. So today's scripture is a little strange in structure. It's one of those that we say, you know, well, she's trying to teach us here. Where are we going here? And it opens at a festival worship where there are two Greeks come to see or are wanting to see Jesus. The disciples pass the buck until the request reaches Jesus, and then Jesus responds with, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Quite an odd answer, isn't it? It's a statement about losing one's life, and then he follows this with a booming voice from heaven. We never really hear about those Greeks again and whether they got to meet Jesus, but to better understand this scripture, we need to remember that John's gospel has many layers in its meaning. On one level, the Greeks represent the world, the rest of the world that was not a part of the religious structure of the day. They too, these Greeks, were wanting to see and learn about Jesus. Now, up until now, Jesus had been limited by geography and history. When approached by these tourists or these folks, not normal people in this religious practice and this geographical structure, they're eager to meet Jesus. And Jesus hears and understands at that point that there is another world crying out to know him. Jesus knows that his mission is meant for all of the world. In this recognition, Jesus realizes that he can go only so far in reaching the people with the gospel message while he's on earth. He came for this purpose, and it's time to fulfill this purpose. In answer to the Greeks' inquiry, he gives this cryptic answer about losing life, falling grain, and servanthood, but then invokes the Father to be glorified. The voice of God speaks and solidifies that Jesus is God's Son and that God is glorified in the actions of Jesus. In that moment of Scripture where the voice says, "I have been glorified it and I will glorify it again," we see the future beginning to unfold. We see how Jesus is going to reach the world. It is through the Father that the Son is glorified, claimed, and able to go beyond his surrounding and reach the whole world with the message of love and grace. Jesus was sent by God to live among God's people, to speak and to act in God's name. God was glorified in every act of Jesus. Everything that Jesus did, is doing, and will do in our lives glorifies God. The crowd didn't understand what had just happened. When the voice was heard, some said it was thunder, others thought it was an angel speaking to Jesus. Many missed the moment to hear God speak, to hear Jesus' mission of love, mercy, and grace, and that it was about to be fulfilled in a way that seemed unbearable. Both the Father and the Son knew what lay ahead. Jesus knew what the crowd did not. Jesus was resigned that once again the crowd missed the point. He did his best to instruct the crowd that the voice was not for him, but for them. He wanted the crowd to understand that what had just happened was of greater significance about God's coming and about a big picture of God's coming to earth in human form and what it meant for the world. This moment in time was confirmation that Jesus would be lifted up on the cross and die so that they could live. Did we catch that message? Did we hear the voice that glorified God? Did we hear the explanation of Jesus and his actions then, now, and in the future are for each of us so that we can live eternally with the Father? Or did we, like the crowd, miss the point? Now let's step back a few verses and better understand what we might have missed. We too are the Greeks, the world, the ones who are not of the first century elite, yet we are invited to follow Jesus. We are invited to hate our lives of comfort and privilege. We are invited to leave the life of the world and cling to the life that calls us to be servants. To love without condition, to bear the burdens of others, all because Jesus did these things for us. Now, Jesus isn't calling us to hate ourselves or berate ourselves for our actions, but to hold ourselves lightly and to realize that life is not about us, but about a greater love for life than we can currently grasp. Life, as Jesus wants us to understand it, is about a larger truth, a deeper reality, and a more profound life than we can see in this world. Jesus wants us to reach beyond ourselves into the world and beyond our comfort zones and our current understandings and surroundings. Jesus wants us to step into the world of a community who may not know the love and mercy of Jesus, a world that is hurting and without, a world that needs to meet Jesus. Jesus wants us to act like Him and reach beyond what we know. Jesus wants us to live and to love deeply. Jesus wants us to serve those beyond our walls and our community. Jesus wants us to surrender ourselves for the sake of the gospel. When we do these things, when we let go of ourselves, we will know Jesus very deeply, and we will lose ourselves in Him. As we end this service and as we come to communion, let us surrender ourselves. Surrender ourselves to God and to commit ourselves to hear that voice of God as God speaks to the specific needs of the community where we live. As we come to the table this morning, we come knowing that we are human, that we don't always do things right, that we don't always hear that voice that speaks to us, that we don't always love as we should, that we don't always serve those who we should. But what we do know is that we are invited to this table. We are invited to come and feel the presence of God within us so that then we are equipped to go into the world and to love and to serve. Doesn't matter what we've done. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we've not done. What matters is that we really want to, that we seek to live a life that God is calling us to live, that we come knowing that God will meet us here. All of us are invited. Let us pray. Holy and awesome God, our humanity gets in the way a lot. We don't always do what we should. But Lord, we are comforted in the fact that we are forgiven. That if we ask and if we admit our humanity, that you will forgive us. That you welcome us to this table of grace and mercy and love. And that we can then go out and love and serve others. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We ask for your forgiveness, and we know that it is granted. Amen. When Jesus came to the Passover meal with these friends, and he sat down, they went through the script. They knew what it was supposed to say. They knew what was supposed to happen. But Jesus turned that script around, and he offered a new covenant. He offered a new practice. When he took that bread, and he blessed that bread, and he gave thanks for that bread, he then broke that bread. And he said to those sitting there, "This is my body for the new covenant. As you eat it, remember me." He took that last cup, he blessed it, he gave thanks to the Father, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." With these acts, he called us all. He called us all into his presence. Let us pray. Holy and awesome God, we ask that you pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for the world the promise of you within us, so that we may go into the world and serve you. Help us, Lord, to understand that your presence is with us and that you make ordinary bread and juice remind us of the love you have for us. Amen. We will serve by intention this morning as a piece of bread is handed to you. You may dip it in the cup. The altar is open for you to make that connection with God. We ask for those who are helping this morning to come forward. And if you're not comfortable with intention, we do have single serve options. We do have gluten-free options available for those of you who need it. Let us come. Thank you. Lord, we are reminded that all is about you. Help us to go from this place and know that we leave here as a redeemed people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.